Gucci. Yo, Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And unleash the gates and let the Folesian Society come through. Let them come through. Open the gates. Come on in, everybody. I waited for this day. As you know, last week, I didn't think the Eagles were going to win the game. I did pray for the Eagles to win the game so we could have a day like this where the Folesian Society rises up again and makes the case that the Eagles are better off with Nick Foles as the quarterback rather than Carson Wentz. It will be the topic of the day. We will discuss it. We will discuss the game. What can I say? He did it again. With some limitations. All right, let's face it. His fourth quarter wasn't the best. Threw an interception. Kind of got the Rams back in the game. Missed Ertz on a play. The four drives that he had in the fourth quarter didn't amount to anything. But here's the thing. He showed some magic during the game. And there was finally a well-called offensive game plan. Finally, where there was a lot of balance, where other guys got involved, where this quarterback decided to make Alshon Jeffrey a priority, and he hadn't been a priority over the last several games, and that paid big dividends for him. Now, this game probably goes into overtime, were it not for a bumbling punt returner who gives the ball back up in his own territory, which helps cement the game away. Because the Eagles are starting to leak a little bit of oil. But the basic tenets of this game were, A, they spread the ball around. Two, they engaged, I went from A to two. B, I mean, they engaged Jeffrey. C, they had a great defensive plan by Jim Schwartz. I never thought I would say that. He backed off, guys. He had seven in coverage to confuse Jared Goff, who I noticed is a very soft quarterback. When things aren't going his way, he turns a little babyish. That's what I saw last night. But he could do that with the seven in coverage because the front was playing out of their mind. Cox played out of his mind. Bennett played out of his mind. Haloti Ngata played out of his mind. Chris Long had some moments last night. Brandon Graham had some moments. They played hard. In addition to that, if I want to add a D category, where the hell's Wendell Smallwood come from? Bouncing off of tackles and spinning. And the running game. They run the ball 30 times last night. The simplified... Here it is. The framework of this whole thing is this. Is Doug Peterson a better coach when he has a simplified offensive game plan that's a little more basic but solid with Foles managing the game? And does that suit this head coach better than having a more talented player like Carson Wentz who gets a little more freedom where the game plan is not called as disciplined as it was last night? I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. Now, it leads to a bigger picture, obviously. Because if Nick Foles pulls this off again, and he wins the rest of these games to get the Eagles into playoffs, and he has some kind of playoff success, what do you do if you're the Eagles? Now, I don't believe that they would be foolish enough to say, okay, Carson, we've now found our franchise quarterback, even though he's a little older. And jettison Wentz in some kind of a trade and cast their lot with Foles. I don't believe that's going to happen. However, they must consider the fact that because their franchise quarterback might be injury prone, that they may have to keep this guy on and pay him more money than any backup in NFL history has ever made. He's worth $20 million on the open market. Would he stay, because he's a different type of cat, if the Eagles pay him, I don't know, 10 to 12 as a backup quarterback? And can they afford to do that? And will they do something like that, which really leaves them hampered in other areas with this salary cap? It's a good question. But last night, Nick Foles threw the first salvo for that conversation. And frankly, the whole team did. And last week, we had a caller talked about the backup goaltender theory, which I kind of dismissed at the time. But it played out perfectly last night. I think that team rallied around Nick Foles the same way a team in hockey rallies around a backup goaltender. Can it sustain? I don't know. The way I look at Nick Foles is he's the ultimate temp. Like, if you trust him for an entire season, you're not going to win. If you trust him for a short window, it's possible that the team rallies around him enough in a short window to win meaningful games. I didn't watch that game last night coming away with the conclusion that he's the better quarterback for this franchise. I didn't. If you did, listen, bring it. All right? Because I wanted this day. I wanted your opinions. I've already got all kinds of emails and tweets about the greatness of Nick Foles. The Folesian Society, the gate is open. There are no guards there. Carlos Escobar's not there. It's free reign into the country today. Tyrone, I know you were playing with this concept last week. You got some kind of Folex theme going today, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I feel good. I got my championship belt on. I had the greatest picks week in picks history. I just did. I picked Penn outright.
Outright.
Over Nova. Yeah. I picked the Eagles.
Outright.
Over the Rams. They both hit. I cashed in. Went out there. And I said it online last night on Twitter that I would go buy a Rolex. Yeah. Now, I didn't get it sized yet, because if you buy a Rolex, I didn't find out it's a little bit harder than I thought.
You can buy a Folex from the street corner.
It's a Folex because of Foles.
You know,
not because it's fake.
It's a Folex because it's Fugazi.
No.
I mean, they start with an F.
Nah. Folesy and Rolex. I got my championship belt, my shirt, my sweater that I'm wearing right now for the people on TV, Mike. Uh-huh. It's literally Versace.
Yeah, I know.
It's Versace. I saw the tag.
I don't want to rain on your parade here.
Versace.
Okay, but the fact is, I'll give you credit for the pen. That was sincere from your heart. Last week, you were toying with fools. You were toying with fools last week. I hope you'd be man enough to admit it today.
Come on, man.
You're going to play this ruse on this fan base?
I'm not playing anything.
This show is all about honesty.
It is, Mike. You're right. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that when I went to make my bet, I didn't bet as much as I thought I was going to bet.
You better show me your receipt.
All right.
Show me the receipt, and we'll put it on Twitter.
Well,
you are a fugazi.
Now, I'm going to show the receipt. Now, I got to make sure the app works in Pennsylvania.
You bet the Eagles on the money line?
I bet the Eagles on the money line.
You lie.
I bet the Eagles on the money line, and I cashed. You think I could afford a Versace sweater, Mike? This is courtesy of Nick Foles. You think I could afford a championship belt? This is courtesy of Nick Foles.
That's Versace, not Versace.
It's real Versace, man. Natalie, did you see it?
I saw the tag.
It's real Versace. I don't dress like this normally.
Anybody can sell a tag into something.
No, you can't. Where'd I get a Versace tag overnight? Nah. It's time for this week, today.
It's like a Michael Jackson uniform.
Well, if you
got what is that?
I like
Versace
it.
Ass, man.
Oh, no, that's the belt.
That's the belt.
Oh, okay.
That's the championship belt. I'm the champ. I'm the picks champ. I am a member of the Folesian Society for now.
Always nice to stay humble.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, well, listen.
But good game last night.
It was a great game. It was fun. Unexpected, to say the least. And you know, Eagle fans, that if you're going to tell me you expected that, come on, man. Nobody expected what happened last night. They wound up actually turning the Rams into a bad football team last night, which I didn't think was going to be possible. But the Rams looked scared in their home park in that game. Eagle fans giving Eagle chance. Nick Foles playing with more swagger than the boy king, Jared Goff. Now, it helped the Eagles that Gurley got hurt. No question about it. But they made more plays than the Rams. It's as simple as that. And the Rams were playing catch-up, and they didn't get the right play. Their punt returner let them down, or maybe it would have been a different story, and they go into overtime, and who knows what would happen in overtime. But we'll talk about it. The important thing is here that I have been man enough to get that big turnkey and put it in the gates, and I have loosened the lock, and we have opened the metal gates for the Falsian Society to pour through. Much to the delight of Natalie Agonoff, who now is more firmly entrenched with the notion that Nick Foles is the greatest quarterback in Eagle history.
I'm just very happy for the Foles people today. I am. That was wonderful what we watched last night.
That's fantastic.
I just wanted to keep going. It would be like the best story in Philadelphia sports history.
It was great. I was stunned by the whole thing. Stunned. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. This should be a great show today. I wanted it. I got it. Let's hear from you right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Foles does it again. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law. The power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum over two decades helping our community. Eagles defeated the Rams last night 30-23. Nick Foles was 24 of 31 for 273 yards. Doug Peterson spoke today on his preparation.
You know, gave Nick, as we go through the week, last week, or went through the week, every opportunity to comment on the game plan, if there's things he didn't like. Just like we would with Carson, you know. And there were a couple things, but for the most part, he felt comfortable with it. Didn't really have to change a whole lot, or at least go back, you know, to last season to pull anything from last year. And again, I felt like coming out of this football game, it was just a team effort.
He confirmed Nick Foles will be the starter against the Texans on Sunday. Wentz will not be placed on IR. Brian Westbrook checks in at 4. Ron Jaworski at 5:10. Flyers have fired head coach Dave Hackstall. Scott Gordon will serve as interim head coach. Goaltender Carter Hart has been recalled from the Phantoms. Sixers face the Spurs tonight. You can hear that game right here on The Fanatic at 8:30. Missed any of our shows today? Check out 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for all podcasts. I'm Natalie Agonoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, yes. The days where you really relish being a sports talk host. 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is their new location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. It is time to start the Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, from robotic lawnmowers to zero-turn and conventional riding mowers. If it goes in your shed, Moyer has it. Need parts or service, they've got you covered. Miss Natalie, let me guess. The poll is Nick Foles the greatest Eagle quarterback of all time?
That's not it,
that's
but
not
close.
It?
All right.
What do you got?
Today's poll, will the Foles magic continue to beat the Texans? Over 900 votes on this so far. 84% going yes, 16% say no, so people believe.
Well, let's take that same Twitter poll later in the week. Let's see how people feel, because people are riding on adrenaline right now.
Yes.
And I'll give you evidence by a couple of emails that I got. James, I'm not a Nick fan. I believe that Carson is the superior talent. However, there is one thing Nick does better than Carson, and that is spread the ball around. Carson is far too reliant on Zach Ertz. Well, he wasn't last year and he won 11 games, but okay, I get it. This offense doesn't work well when you run through a tight end. They ran through a tight end last year. It needs to be wide receiver based with a tight end and complement. We saw what happens last night when you get the number one wide receiver involved. Nick is also more willing to go deep than Carson is. I'm not sure why. I don't know if Nick has better vision or if Carson is just still young. Hopefully, he overcomes it. All right. That's from James. Dave, I just want to start off by saying I'm a big Wentz fan. He has a great future in this league. Now, if you asked me a month ago, I would say it would be a no-brainer that Wentz is a much better quarterback than Foles. But after watching last night's game, I'm not so sure anymore. While Wentz is a much better athlete and has a stronger arm, it's obvious that Foles is much better at reading a defense and quickly finding the open receiver. Last night, he took zero sacks against one of the best pass rushers in the league. How many times this year has Wentz taken the sack and fumbled the ball because he sat in a pocket too long trying to find the open receiver? I'm seriously starting to wonder, here it is, if it would be better to keep Foles and trade Wentz. Foles is only 4 years older than Wentz and should have plenty of good years left in him. If Foles is going to cost significantly less money than Wentz and has a better winning percentage than Wentz, wouldn't it make sense to keep Foles and have extra money to strengthen your team in other areas? You want my answer to that? No. All right? It's really as simple as that. He has a better winning percentage because he has a smaller sample size. Let's not forget this. And I don't want to get into criticizing Foles today. This is not the time to criticize him. But you have to add some things in balance here. Wentz won 11 games last year. We weren't having any complaints about the way he was playing, who he was targeting, whether he was throwing the ball down the field. That has been completely shoved out the window, and nobody thinks about it anymore. Nick Foles played two games early this year. Was it three? Was it three? Two. Played two. Mediocre, right? Played two regular season games last year. Mediocre. Had a cluster of four really good games. 4-4. My point is, Nick Foles is a temp. Sometimes it's going to look really good. Like last night, the team obviously rallied around him. Now, if he can continue it through the regular season, get this team in the playoffs, I'll probably think differently of him. But if Carson Wentz had the fourth quarter that Nick Foles had last night, we would be destroying Carson Wentz. Now, I know Nick Foles did enough to that point, but do people remember what his fourth quarter drives were last night? Three plays, 12 yards, interception. Five plays, 18 yards, punt. Four plays, 2 yards, punt. Four plays, 1 yard, missed field goal. That was the fourth quarter for Nick Foles. Then he threw one to Hurts that should have been picked. Carson Wentz makes that throw, we're killing him. I'm just putting things in perspective here. Let's go to Eric and Fox Chase. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
What's up, Mike?
What are you doing, Eric?
Man, I hate to say that I told you so, but I called you about 3 weeks ago and told you they were going to go into L.A. with the weak fans they have out there sitting on their hands the whole game and take that stadium over and put the beat down to them.
Yeah, you didn't believe that last week. Yeah, you may have believed it 3 weeks ago. You didn't believe it last week.
But Mike, let me tell you, the key to beating any team like that is running the ball. I believe they would have beat them even if Carson played. Carson played a good second half against the Cowboys.
Yeah. They probably wouldn't have run the ball if Carson was the quarterback, though. This is where I'm on your side.
I don't understand that.
They wouldn't, because that's what the point I just made. They have a more balanced attack for Foles because they know he can make fewer plays than Carson Wentz. So that's the way they coach accordingly. Now, he may be a better coach with a guy like Nick Foles as his quarterback because he simplified it last night.
Foles throws the ball better downfield than Carson does.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, no, yes, he does.
He threw two. He completed those two long passes. Both of them were lollipops.
They were jump balls. He gives Alshon a chance.
There was a fluke that Alshon caught that ball. The secondary wasn't even back. There were two guys standing back there.
You're being a little bit biased.
Dude, he threw two balls that were lollipop balls in the air.
You gotta give your receiver the chance. Wentz is sitting there back there getting shot.
Why did Jeffrey catch that ball at that long one, that 50-yarder? Why?
Because he's bigger and taller than the quarterback. No,
because Tlaib completely misplayed it. There were two open guys standing back there waiting for a punt. What were you watching? Man, stop. He doesn't throw the ball longer, better than Carson Wentz does. It's just last night they completed a couple long balls. Let's go to Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Thomas?
Great game last night. I mean, just like everybody else, I mean, I didn't expect the Eagles to come out with a win, especially, you know, with Foles and stuff. But, you know, he comes out on top when we need the most. And, you know, we play the Texans next week at home. Mm-hmm. I know every game is different, you know, anything can happen, but, you know, us beating the Rams on their home turf, you know, I could see us beating the Texans now at home. The Rams are a much better team than the Texans. I think Foles can pull it off like he did last year.
I don't know if the Rams are a better team than the Texans, to be honest. The Rams showed some leaks last night. They're banged up, too. Their running back was banged up. They're missing a couple wide receivers. Their secondary was horrendous last night. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe the Rams have hit a wall.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. But, you know, I think you know, we have a better shot in the wild card, right? Because, you know, I think, you know, we have to win out no matter what. But, you know, the Vikings' last two opponents are Detroit and Chicago. If they lose one of those, and I forget the other team, they have to
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I'm not feeling that they're going to beat Houston. And I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
So we'll see. I don't know if you can just say, oh, well, that's a win. You know?
Yeah.
Nick Foles wins games when he's an underdog. He's not going to be an underdog in this game. I think he's won, like, what, five games as an underdog?
Let's just hope that everyone thinks that the Eagles aren't going to win out, because every time that we think they're not going to do well, they win.
It's certainly possible that they win out. Yeah. Yeah, really, it is. The Houston game has always been a trap. Houston needs that game. They're now playing for a seed, so that's not going to be an easy win for them.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
All right, man, you got it. Let's see. Let's get the Eagles notes on Nicky. He has won his last five starts as an underdog. Now, they play that to the hilt. They play that underdog role to the hilt. He fits that underdog role. It's like they all gather around him and support him in that underdog role. Nobody expects anything from him. That serves the Eagles well for whatever reason. Let's go to Eric in Long Island. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
You know, Mike, last night was the first time we saw the defense, in my mind, play with a little bit of swagger.
I agree. 100% I agree.
You know, the opening possession, the three and out. You know, listen, even at 13-all going to the half, I didn't get the sense they can win the football game until Foles completed that ball to Jeffrey. And to me, the big stop was the possession right after that when they went up seven. They forced the Rams to three and out, got the Elliott field goal to up 10. That's when I started to believe that they can finally win this football game. And let me just say this about the big picture going forward. I mean, you know, the way this year has gone, and I called you last Monday about this, it's been a miserable year. Well, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, by the ups and downs, the injuries. I mean, it just hasn't been a solid year. It'd be only fitting to see this team go out next week at home and lay an egg, just the way the year's gone. But I'll tell you one thing though. I think this team has found something right now. I think going out to LA, getting this win, has kind of rejuvenated this team a little bit. I think they're going to win out. But here's the question I'm going to pose to you, Mike, before I go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chicago and the Rams are going to fight it out for that two seed now. So Chicago's in play for that.
Yes.
Let me paint this picture here right now. Week 17, the Bears are in Minnesota. The Rams are at home for the Niners. Does Nagy, the coach of the Bears, if he goes into the locker room at halftime of that game and he sees the Rams are blowing out the 49ers and the two seed is out of the picture in the bye, my fear as an Eagles fan is that the Bears rest their starters in the second half of that game, the game gets away from them, and Minnesota ends up winning their last two games.
It's very possible.
That's what leaves the Eagles
out. Yeah, it's a good call on you, unless the Eagles sweep here. But you think Minnesota can sweep?
That's my point, is that Minnesota pulls away from Chicago in the second half because the Bears have nothing to play for, and Trubisky comes out.
Yeah.
So listen, Mike, you got to give this team credit. They showed some heart last night, heart of a champion. Let's see how it plays out.
I totally agree with your defensive standpoint there. They played really well. They played hard. Schwartz choreographed a great plan. He did. But to do that, he had to have activity up front, and they got activity up front. It reduced the pressure on their secondary, and it allowed them to put extra guys back to give Goff an extra look. When they had those spot shadows on TV, you could see what Goff was looking at. He saw all these spot shadows back there, and right away defeated him. Because this kid is a little flimsy. That is what I saw last night. This kid's a little flimsy. Yeah. You know, that panic play he makes, that foolish turnover where he's wrapped up and he tries to flip the ball. I mean, that's a stupid play. And the Eagles got the benefit of the football god giving them an interception on that play with Corey Graham.
No, you're absolutely right about that guy. He kind of exposed himself a little bit in that when the going gets tough, he folds. Mm-hmm. He folds. It looks like he folds physically. Like, he doesn't want to get hit anymore, and he kind of, like, folds up into a ball.
Now, both of those long passes, the first one he missed, the Aguilar, was incomplete. But both of the completions, he had heat on him. The second one was the miracle one. I don't know how he got a follow-through on that to get the ball that deep. But the ball was caught for one reason. The Rams secondary had no idea what the hell was going on. That was like a punt that should have been intercepted. Am I right?
No, you're 100% right. I don't know. I tweeted out at the time. I've never seen two guys get that open behind the defense before in my entire life watching on any level. I've never seen it in high school. I've never seen it in college.
I've never seen pro cornerbacks ignore two guys. They're behind
two
them.
Guys. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, it works out to the Eagles' benefit. But the guy that did the drive that resulted in a field goal that made it 23-13, he's right about that. They got a 3-and-out. After that touchdown, and then it was a methodical drive. It wasn't throwing the ball down the field. Foles, short right to Jeffrey. Smallwood, right tackle. Smallwood up the middle. Foles, short middle to Golden Tate. Smallwood up the middle. Foles, short right to Jeffrey. Short right to Sproles. Short middle to Aguilar. Elliott field goal. They were very conservative. They didn't throw the ball down the field there, and that got them to 23-13. And then they got the benefit of the interception when Goff throws it away to Corey Graham. And when I saw that play, I said that is a sign from God that the Eagles win this game. That play alone.
Yeah, you tweeted that out at that moment.
I did.
Yeah, you did. So that was
Now one of the things I tweeted out was early on. I said, listen, I know it's Foles, but this offensive game plan looks pretty bland. Well, people waited for the entire game until after they threw long balls to rip me for that tweet. I put that tweet early in the first quarter. It's called live tweeting, you numbskulls.
They're time stamped, people. They're time stamped.
This tweet didn't age well. I love people. I want to punch you in the head if you tweet that one more time. All right, we got to throw the TV side, the Flyers press conference. They fired Dave Haxtell today, and here is the press conference that will explain everything, I guess, right? All right, so we'll stay right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Still take your calls. Heather and Souderton. Heather, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Heather.
Yes. You have to excuse me. I'm in Walmart and we're on loudspeaker right now. But anyway, I just want to tell you, I've been trying to call all day because I have a lot to say. But I just have to tell you, I was excited. It was fun to watch the game last night like it hasn't been in a while. I can't put all my heart on Foles. I know he did pretty well. I think we were all ready for something new to happen, and we saw some new plays last night. We saw him moving the pocket around. We saw him using players that we don't normally use, which I thought was good, moving the ball around. So I'm glad it came out the way it did. I mean, I didn't have any expectations watching that game last night. I thought actually it was going to be an early night, and I was going to fold laundry and go to bed.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of felt the same way. And then all of a sudden they're in the game, and at halftime at 13-13, you were still waiting for the Rams' onslaught. It wasn't until they went up 23-13 that I felt comfortable. And then when that play happened with Goff giving the ball away and they got a touchdown off of that, I thought the game was over.
So did I. I thought we were going to lose our lead. I'm not going to lie. You know, they still had enough time in the game where they could have gotten two touchdowns.
So that fourth quarter was a long quarter, man, I'll tell you.
It really was. Heather, what's the last minute Christmas shopping there in Walmart? What are you shopping for?
I'm trying. Well, I got groceries and I got all kinds of stocking stuffers and stuff like that, and I got to work a double shift tonight.
Oh,
so.
No. Heather, you're a working a mom here, looks like.
Yeah, single mom. So.
Okay, well, good for you, Heather. Go knock them dead in Walmart.
All right. Thank you very much.
There you go. All right, there's Heather. And Solder, last minute shopping at Walmart.
Yeah.
The groceries she was going with.
Did you get all that stuff in
Walmart?
I've never got groceries there, but I've seen their products and their produce actually looks terrific.
Yeah, I guess you can get the mail order groceries too, can't you? You can get that delivery, like a grocery delivery?
Yes.
From Walmart?
Yes.
Shipped to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they offer everything now. You can literally go to Walmart and get anything that you need in your life.
I actually order cases of Essentia water through Walmart.com.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, for the, what does it have? The electrolytes?
The alkaline.
Alkaline, that's it.
Yeah, it's the alkaline water.
Do you feel any different from it?
I don't know. Really, I don't know. But I'll be honest with you. But people swear by it. I give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know, we're spoiled here.
Uh-huh.
And the parts on the TV audience, certain parts of PA and certain parts, Walmart, their mall, and their group, like, we don't have, at least we have an option. Some places, Walmart, that's all they have. Of course they get their groceries there because that's the grocery store and the clothes and the electronics, and they don't really have options.
Yeah.
Here, we're spoiled. I really don't do
the Walmart Target thing because it's too much mayhem for me.
I'm too much at Target. I go to Target too much, I was there this morning.
Too much mayhem. I can't take it.
I feel like I'm turning into one of those people that now I just look for a reason to go.
Yeah.
And I never thought that I'd be that person.
You are that person this young in your life?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm turning into that person who has to go to...
Well, what do you shop for in Target?
I get most of my makeup, shampoo, hairspray, stuff like that. But today I stopped there, I got some snacks.
You're not an Ulta person?
I go to Ulta. Well, there wasn't one around here now until recently.
Okay.
But, yeah. Well, I get my good makeup from Ulta.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it in Ulta.
It's varied.
You get your bad makeup at Walmart?
Well, no, it's just they don't have the higher stuff. Like, the TV makeup I get at Ulta and MAC.
Oh, so your regular...
But my, day... Because I don't like to wear too much makeup on the weekends.
Oh, okay.
So my day-to-day is just from Target.
The life of Natalie. Jim in Havertown. What's up, Jim?
Yo, what's going on, folks?
What's up?
The Eagles, I guess, for today. I'm watching this knucklehead for the Flyers. I listened to him for about a minute. I shut you off for about a minute.
Yeah. Who's the press conference? Is it Chuck Fletcher?
Yeah. Talking about how the onus is on the players to buy into what the coach is selling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, is it really, if the coach sucks, is it really my onus to keep on doing something that he tells me is wrong? What are you talking about? It's my onus. It ain't my fault this guy sucks.
What was he saying? It wasn't the coach's fault? Was the player's fault?
Well, he's trying to say what a great guy the guy is. He's giving him a pat on the back. I understand that. It's holiday time. You don't want to seem like a demon.
Right.
You got to do what's right for the team. You should have fired him as soon as he walked in. He shouldn't have gotten to know the guy. So he said, look, this isn't working. He's got to go. I'm going to bring my own guy in. I don't know why he did it like this.
All right. Did he say who he's bringing in?
No, I haven't heard that yet.
Okay.
I'm still listening to you.
Right.
And lovely Natalie. And Tyrone, I got you, Tyrone. I seen that shirt. Dude on television looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. He's got the belt around his shoulder, too.
I thought that was part of the shirt.
Yeah, I thought it was like a shiny Versace type of
thing. Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some strange clothes out there, for sure. And Versace is one of the main designers, so yeah, they're partly responsible for it, for sure.
All right, get to your point, brother. Get to your point. You never get to the damn point.
What's the point, dude? I'm on the side of, of course, I'm no Stunad. The kid's a better quarterback than Foles. Everybody knows that. Come on, man. Foles finds lightning in a bottle sometimes. He threw that ball, and Tahid, obviously his name, gave up on that ball because he's seen it getting thrown to Aguilar, and he quit on it. And Alshon went over and got it. That's when Khalid turned and quit on that ball, is when he let it go and he seen it was going to Aguilar. But Alshon didn't give up on it. Alshon went and got it.
They were
Did
right there.
That?
I waited for it like a punt.
Now, I'm telling you, watch it again, dude. That's the only reason Tlaib, an all-pro, one of the best.
I don't know what Tlaib was doing. There was nobody in his area.
I'm telling you, that's right.
Except for Jeffrey. Jeffrey's the guy who had the cover.
I'm telling you, Mikey, watch it close again. The only reason Tlaib gives up on that play is because he sees it released, and it's released to Aguilar. But Jeffrey's being the guy he is. went and got it.
Listen,
they underused Jeffries. There's no doubt about that. And that's
beautiful. It was a great play. They had a series of really fortunate plays that went their way last night. The God play that I call it with Goff in the pocket getting mangled and then flipping in the air and having an interception. The play to Ertz in the fourth quarter should have been intercepted. It was not. It was way behind him. It went off his hands. And then the punt return fumble where nobody hit the guy. It gets from God. What a game last night for him. In addition to Foles playing well and their defense playing lights out. Kevin, Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hold on, Kevin. You're next. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Kevin's next. And everybody, Foles' side's been quiet so far. I've opened the gates for the Folesian society. Where are they, Tyrone?
They'll be here. They're on hold.
All right.
They're basking. They're just glowing today. They're floating around.
That's the whole point of today. It's the Mike Missanelli Show back after this.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Why you gotta do this to me? I'm not in the mood for this.
Come on.
Oh, is women down a bowl on?
Hey, Ben!
You guys know what time of year it is?
What? What? Christmas time!
You guys
all been good and practicing real hard.
Yeah,
Santa.
You've been rehearsing real hard.
Santa, bring your saxophone.
Everybody out there been good or what?
Oh, that's not many.
Oh, that's not many.
You guys in trouble out there. Well, you better watch out.
You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you.
All right. Thank you.
I think the saxophone part that you do is my favorite part.
Saxophone.
That's the best part.
Clarence! Oh, that's good with Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin!
Hey, Mike, how you doing,
What's
man?
Going on, Kevin?
First thing I want to say is Carson Wentz is the future, period. Okay, now... What I saw last night, I didn't agree with Seth. He said that it was a play calling. I think it was Nick Foles taking what the defense gives him. On first down, if it's a check down, if it's a 5-yard pass to Golden Tate, he would take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if Carson adds that to his game next year, it would take his game to another level. That's what I think.
Uh-huh.
I think he needs to add that. Take what the defense gives him. It's going to be shots. He's going to be able to take shots during the game, throwing bombs, you know. But take what the defense gives you, man. You know.
Let me ask you this because it's apparently Carson Wentz threw for 5 yards a game. He threw for 300 yards a game and had a quarterback rating of over 100. He couldn't have been that bad this year, right? Like there had to be some check down throws for him to reach 300 yards a game and a quarterback rating of over 100. He had to be doing something right. Am I right?
Yeah, but there's times, yes, Mike, you are right, but there's times he tried to play Superman.
Okay, all right. I got that part of it, but I think that we have rounded this off into an area where it's like ridiculous now. It's like Carson Wentz never did a thing this year. And Nick Foles is doing everything. And now that's just ridiculous.
I started the show. I said that Carson is the future. Period.
Okay.
All right.
You got it.
All right, Mike.
Thank you, man. This is where I get crazy because it's like we have thrown out the window. Here's what we've thrown out the window. The good of Carson Wentz and the bad of Nick Foles. And all that's left is the bad of Carson Wentz and the greatness of Nick Foles. That's all. This is what we have a tendency to do because it's the latest result that takes our brain to a certain level and makes us forget about stuff. Dre in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dre.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Dre?
I just want to, you know, be on the Foles bandwagon here because I hear a lot of shaming of him. I think he should be the starter from here, and we should sign him for a long-term contract and get rid of Wentz.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
All right, well, explain why you think why. I think it's absolutely what you just said is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. but go ahead. I'd like for you to justify it.
Well, what I'm saying is that the whole team is more calmer when we have Foles as starters.
For how many games? Bro, seriously, how many games you to make that blanket statement, how many games have you seen that actually manifest itself?
Almost all the games that Foles.
Three in the playoffs.
Right. We're in the count.
Okay, there were two games in the regular season last year where he sucked, and the two games this year where he wasn't very good either. Do you remember that?
Mike, but when he came in, though, he wasn't a starter.
What are you talking about? So you made the case that this franchise should root themselves with a guy who has a temporary resume. That's what you just said.
But if he has a temporary resume, why don't we start Wentz from here and we never reach the Super Bowl?
Okay, let me ask you this. If Foles loses next week, are you going to say the same thing to me Monday?
He's not going to lose next week.
I'm asking you a question. Does your narrative change if they lose next week?
No.
What do you mean no? What are you talking about no? If they lose next week, most likely you're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're not in the playoffs.
Okay, so you're going to hold on to that premise that Foles should be the starter and Wentz not.
So what if Wentz is injury prone and we let Foles go?
Dude, you're not answering my questions. If they lose next week, do you have the same narrative? Or is this based on Foles sweeping the rest of the season and doing well in the playoffs?
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah,
all right, well, then you better hope they win next week. We are back on TV as the press conference is over with Chuck Fletcher. I didn't get it. Obviously, we're doing the show, so I didn't hear what he had to say about the future of a new coach or anything. Do we have any news from that press conference?
We got the guys pulling the press.
Okay.
He basically just said that they're still like in the search and that they're going to look through the phantoms to find somebody to relieve, I guess, Scott Gordon.
Huh?
Something like that.
Scott Gordon.
They're going to have the Phantoms coach as the interim coach.
He's the interim coach. I'm sorry. Yes.
The Phantoms coach is the interim coach?
Yes. So they're now searching for somebody to replace him with the Phantoms. That's what they got out of it.
Oh, man.
And he's expected to be the head coach for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So the Quenneville rumors.
Keep me on edge here.
Yeah, he hasn't spoken.
You're gonna keep me on edge and not give me who the Phantoms coach is going to be.
He confirmed that he
I got enough
hasn't
issues
spoke.
I'm dealing with today. That's another one.
He confirmed that he hasn't spoke to Kenville in 2 years. So that was just a rumor.
All right, so Quenneville will not be the coach of the Flyers.
Well, not now.
Not as of right now.
That doesn't mean he won't be. He's also he's getting paid $6 million to sit home. So he might be wanting to wait.
So they're basically going to just waste this season away with an interim coach.
Yeah,
basically what we got from the press.
And a really young goalie who's up.
And
they're
going to bring up the young goalie and see where that goes. I guess they've decided that maybe they're not playoff worthy, and so they'll plan this season accordingly.
That's what now hopefully the question is, will Giroux waive that no trade? Because does he want to stay for a rebuild? That'll be a big question.
The fans also will come out, I think, to see Carter Hart. They've been calling for him, so...
You know, what's really interesting, I was on a Toronto Sports Talk station this morning.
You were?
Yeah. They called me for some... See, Sports Talk stations around the nation like to kill a lot of time.
Yeah.
So they'll talk about, like, issues that don't pertain exactly to their provincial surroundings.
Uh-huh.
Kill a segment.
They kill a segment. So in Toronto, I don't know why they would be interested at all what's going on in Philadelphia, but they do that every now and then. So the guy gets on, a nice enough fella. And he says, "All right, Mike. What do you want to talk about first? The Flyers or the Eagles?" And I'm going, "Well, I said, well, it's up to you, bro. It's your show. But if I were to give you a pie, I would think that 85% would have Eagles in it. So let's start with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Since they just beat the Rams last night. You ain't talking about the Flyers in Toronto?
Outright.
All right. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. And back on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.